Tired of the hassle and risks of manual fruit cutting? Let me introduce our partners over at Supercut System, the automated solution that enhances safety, quality, and efficiency. Cut up to 120 perfect citrus wedges per minute, 6 times faster than manual. Patented technology delivers consistent slices, reducing waste and eliminating plastic. The contactless hygienic design lowers contamination risk and workplace injuries. Supercut integrates seamlessly for any volume, improve profitability and customer experience. Experience the power of automation with Supercut. Get started today at supercut.com and be sure to ask about their risk-free trials.
Elevate your dining experience with Rack Porcelain USA. As the exclusive tableware brand for the Walk and Talk podcast, Rack combines exceptional craftsmanship with innovative design. Whether you're a chef, a restaurant owner, or a food enthusiast, Rack's high-quality porcelain products will enhance every meal. Discover the artistry of food presentation and make every dining occasion special. Visit RackPorcelain.com today and see how Rack can transform your table. Chefs and food buyers, let me tell you about a product that will generate new excitement on your menu. Fully cooked, pasture-raised, all-natural Australian lamb from Aussie Select. Their award-winning, handcrafted, innovative products are blended with the finest spices and amazing flavors. Options include agave rosemary, tikka masala, lamb pastrami, and lamb prime rib roast. Available sliced or whole with a long shelf life too. Find out more at AussieSelect.com.
Tired of the hassle and risks of manual fruit cutting? Let me introduce our partners over at Supercut System, the automated solution that enhances safety, quality, and efficiency. Cut up to 120 perfect citrus wedges per minute, 6 times faster than manual. Patented technology delivers consistent slices, reducing waste and eliminating plastic. The contactless hygienic design lowers contamination risk and workplace injuries. Supercut integrates seamlessly for any volume. Improve profitability and customer experience. Experience the power of automation with Supercut. Get started today at supercut.com and be sure to ask about their risk-free trials.
Yes, please. Recording. We're going 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Rolling.
Hello, food fam. This is the Walk and Talk podcast. I'm your host, Carl Fiadini. We're podcasting on site at the Carroll Hotel in beautiful Clearwater, St. Pete, Florida. If you haven't been to this property yet, get here. It's top notch with all the amenities you expect from a tribute portfolio hotel. Today, we're going to be talking sales with chef and a dear friend. But first, let's talk about our sponsor, this segment. It is the Walk and Talk Media Outfit, okay? Attention food service distributors and food brands. If you sell product and services to hotels, restaurants, and country clubs, contact the gang at Walk and Talk Media and get noticed by the decision makers. Become a show partner to our broadcast quality streaming internet-based food, TV shows, podcast, and magazine. We'll get all the right eyes on your business. Reach us now on our website, not your website, but my website, the website, thewalkandtalk.com. All right, let's get Chef Jeffrey Schlissel in here. He is our culinary contributor to the show. How are you doing, Jeff?
Fantastic.
Are you? You are,
yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, especially after what just happened.
I know. You're out there seeing celebrities and celebrity chefs
cool.
And everything.
Yeah, it's damn cool.
You see where we bring you with the show?
Yeah. You know, like you bring it up and then I bring it down.
So right, it's, but we're bringing it to, we're bringing it to some really great places.
Yeah, it really is.
Can we even say the name, though, right?
Yeah, we could say it. Why not?
Talk
he's not going to be here.
No, he's not here.
The guy that does the BAM. You know, little Chef Emeril Gassi.
Oh, my God. He's right over there. He's about...
Literally right over there.
Like 20 yards away. I can't even go over there. God.
Yeah, he's a really good guy. Just a fantastic individual. We met in 97.
Yeah. So well, maybe he's going to hear that. Maybe you should probably like...
slip him a little, you know, walk and talk.
Yeah, do that. Send him the link. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, I love that guy too, by the way.
Yeah.
All right. So we're going to be talking some sales stuff today. And... Veronica Rodriguez.
Hola, Carlito.
How are you?
¿Cómo estás? I'm well. How are you?
Oh, my God. If I was any better, I wouldn't know. I don't even know what to do with myself. It's like that. So, Veronica, tell the story about how you became my work wife.
Well, once upon a time, Carl and I used to work together back in a few years ago as in a food service distributor up in Central Florida. And
we did damage.
We did damage. We sure did.
We shook it up.
The dream team, baby.
It really was. You know, and not for nothing, at its peak with 12, with the 12 reps, we really did damage. So it's not easy, right?
No.
Why?
She's got to deal with people.
And not
like
because
me.
Of me. Don't be like, oh, because, you know, manager. You know,
yeah. No, it what makes it tough is if you want to provide the level of service and stand behind it and have the chefs believe in you and trust you for their needs, you have to put in the work. And then you have life outside of that that you need to kind of balance. So that's, you know, it's an art.
It's an art. And when you're dealing with chefs, and we have Chef Jeff here, he can attest to all this. Mm-hmm. It's a demanding life on their side. Therefore, it's a demanding life on our side from the distributor sales perspective. Mm-hmm. And when, you know, granted, they're putting in the 70, 80 hours plus, when they do get their 1 or maybe 2 days off, well, their sous chef is the one placing those orders, or somebody in the kitchen, somebody else is placing the order. And, you know, we have to facilitate that. And that's 7 days a week in some cases, you know, not everybody, but in a lot of cases, it's a 365 day a year gig, and it can get pretty rough.
Yes, it can.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like I said in the podcast with Chef that he was in earlier, I literally said, we have to give that break to the salespeople. They think, chefs think that they work a 9-to-5 job, salespeople.
Right.
They get Saturdays and Sundays off. And that is such a misconception. Being 8.5 years for the broadliner I worked with, I worked for them from 7 o'clock in the morning till my daughter was picked up, and then we had dinner, and then at 8 o'clock I picked up afterwards.
Because your phone is blown up with questions and orders and whatever.
Yeah, I would support through. More, so I didn't have the orders per se, but I would have salespeople, or I had to put
my
docs.
The salesperson was getting the orders with the questions and reaching out to you. Me. So you were linked to the order.
Really. Yeah, 100%.
Right.
And you know, I actually ended up working harder and longer hours for the broadliner than I did for the hotel.
Sure.
And that's really weird to say, because a lot of that's the misconception. Mm-hmm. Even for a salesperson's perspective, when a chef gets out of the kitchen and they go, oh, I'm just going to work for sales. And, oh, no, it's a whole different ball of wax.
I mean, it is. So when a chef is looking to kind of, you know, when they're in the twilight of their career, you have choices. You either become a salesperson, maybe you get lucky at a country club or a assisted living facility gig where, you know, you're working 5 days a week and it's not heavy duty. And that's kind of like how you phase yourself out of the life. A lot of
or a manufacturer. You work for a manufacturer.
Yeah, a manufacturer rep, right.
Yeah.
Sales, basically sales support, sales, whatever. And once you get into that, it's a whole different world. I used to love to hire sales chefs for sales positions because I know the work ethic is there. And if you may not be the best, you know, quote unquote salesperson, but if your work ethic is there and you give me 50 hours a week, because I don't need, you know, give me 50, you'll be a superstar. Follow the plan, you'll be a superstar. And what ends up happening is I'll have a 2-hour meeting off property on that interview with that chef. And I'm trying to explain to them how you're probably going to fail because you don't have the GM or the owner of the restaurant or whatever over your shoulder. You're not clocking in. You're waking up and it's up to you to be out there and to do your thing. And you have all the rope in the world to do the deed.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. 100%.
So, but the fact is, and by the way, everybody who's listening to the show, we're recording, not live, but live in real time at a hotel. We bring our podcast to the best hotels and restaurants around town. And, you know, you're hearing different chefs and it's pretty cool. So we are anything you hear in the background. This is live, man. Live, baby. So, so with that said, you know, the expectation, you know, from a chef to a salesperson, I will tell you that most salespeople are knuckle draggers, man. Like, I am not a proponent of the salespeople in general. Like it's hard, so hard to impress me because you got to put in the work. With that said, once you put in the work, you can start, that's when you start your work-life balance. After you build your business, you put it together. Not that things are easy street from there, but you know what? It becomes manageable. And I do believe, and you're going to talk about it now, but what is the perception of the salesperson from the kitchen?
It depends on the person and how they present themselves, 100%. Like we talked about in the last two segments, it's how you approach the chef when you're approaching the chef. And it doesn't mean male, female. I'm talking prospective salesperson to chef. That's the title. I'm not breaking it down for male, female. It's just how you perceive it. We are more of, what are you going to sell me now? Mm-hmm. 100%. Get out of my kitchen. This is what I don't need right now. I got this, especially now with, you know, post-COVID. We heard Chef off camera tell us this is the first time in 9 months. And I quickly said, even before he got it out, I said, knock on wood, that he has a full kitchen.
Yeah. Right.
Right. So 9 months, he's been here a year. It's been open for 3 years. So with 9 months, almost a year he's been here, he's not had a full contingency.
Yeah.
And the last thing we want to see is this individual or any individual coming into our kitchen trying to sell us stuff. We don't have the time for it.
Right. Yeah. Well, you're filling three other positions.
Yeah. 100%. Right. But again, we also have to take into account that you're trying to do your job. And I point to you saying you, Veronica, not you personally, but you, the salesperson.
Representing the salesperson. Definitely.
You have to represent and have to be the one that knows your audience.
Correct.
Right. And that's tough to do because we're egotistical bastards. And how do you deal with that?
So, you know, you have to be perceptive and know when you're walking into a kitchen, if it's the first time you've ever been there and you know they're busy, it's just, hey, I'm just quick intro. Here's my card. When's a good time to come in? I'm not trying to sell you anything right now. And bring value. You right? What value do you bring when you come in to see the chef? What are you just coming in to be like, oh, hey, just came in to say hey, or, oh, yeah, we sell, you know, XYZ. Okay, well, so does everybody else. Why should I get from you? So making sure that you're knowledgeable about what products you have, understanding, you know, their business or their restaurant or what they're serving, who their clients are, and then kind of matching what you offer to what they need. I would always start with, like, tell me a little bit about your business. What do you do? Like, help me understand what you do. Because they can say, well, what do you sell? Well, I have a long list, but why am I going to sit here and just regurgitate a list when maybe only two or three things on that list are of importance to you. So making sure that you bring value when you come in and talk to a chef and understanding that they have a very limited time and not wasting their time. And I think they'll learn to respect that and then, you know, under promise and over deliver, you know, basic sales 101 and know that they can count on you when they need something.
Chefs and food buyers, let me tell you about a product that will generate new excitement on your menu. Fully cooked, pasture-raised, all-natural Australian lamb from Aussie Select. Their award-winning, handcrafted, innovative products are blended with the finest spices and amazing flavors. Options include agave rosemary, tikka masala, lamb pastrami, and lamb prime rib roast. Available sliced or whole with a long shelf life too. Find out more at AussieSelect.com.
So, I mean, for me, pro tip for anybody that's going into sales, especially female, and I'm going to call this out because if Don Alvarez is listening, never go into a kitchen open-toed shoes. Number one priority. You don't want to do that. It's going to set the chef off 100%.
I'm just going to back that up with, I don't think that the any males should be doing that either.
No.
Definitely
it's,
not.
It's a health code. Don't go into a situation where you're going to break a health code. Mm-hmm. Make sure your hair's back. Long hair, make sure it's put in a ponytail or whatever it needs to be off the shoulders because you're going in where, God forbid, there's a health inspector there. You're going to add to the problem right. And that such. I think you touched on a thing. One of the things you mentioned was know your product, right? And you and I talked about a previous produce company that I bought from. The first person they sent in did more retail. And it was like in 3 days, I called the guy back up and like, can you do me a favor and get me a different rep that knows what the hell they're talking about? Like I asked that person a question. I had to wait for the answer to come back from somebody else because they had that. So that had, for me, equated to lack of confidence in that person to get me what I needed. And that's the number one thing, you know. And here's another thing you also mentioned. A pro tip. If with social media the way it is, if you're going to go past the Carl Hotel and you want to know about Chef Parker, or you're going to go past whatever restaurant, find out what the chef is doing. Find out what their menu is. Go with the game plan in. When you're walking in, mm-hmm. say, hey, I just noticed you just rolled out this new menu. Or, hey, I love this idea with your steak, whatever. Mm-hmm. And then you bring that momentum over.
You know, it's funny you say this. And I you know, with LinkedIn and a lot of these, you know, professional platforms, you know, I see who looks at, you know, who's and I'm not saying that in a disparaging way. I embrace it. If I were still on the street doing sales, I would be all over mm-hmm. my content, this content, mm-hmm. because we're really diving into the mind of the chef. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we're talking about
the whole community.
Dishes and right. And their specific dishes and the property and you know all that stuff. But the reality is, I'm having intimate conversations with these chefs, and they're great data points to have. If you have product that you were looking to, you know, to get in front of them.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's pretty crazy. I've probably forgotten more than, you know, a lot of people know in terms of produce. I was in produce for 20 years and I'm not flexing or anything like that, but you don't remember all that. It's so much information. And the latter part of my career being on the street, even in a, you know,
sales wise, street wise.
Yes. When I was, I gotta go there. So, there I was, right. You know, at the end of the day, product knowledge is important. You need to be able to navigate through a conversation, but what's most important, pro tip, most important is the eye contact, the confidence in saying that I am going to back you up. Because at the end of the day, the answer to a question, give me a minute, let me find out. It's, you know, whether it's Google or, you know, somebody that you're working with, coworker or whatever, you get the answer.
Mm-hmm.
I don't, you can have the most knowledgeable, you know, person sitting across from you, but if you can't get in contact with them or they're not facilitating your needs properly, then who cares?
Right.
What's the difference?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and you have to know yourself too, because you can't go in there saying all this big talk, right? I'm pulling up my pants. I'm a big, you know, boy, big girl, whatever, and then not deliver. You need to be able, I would tell somebody, hit me at 11:30, and then hit me again at 5 in the morning. That was what it was. Mm-hmm. And I would get these chefs that I would have that conversation late at night and then early in the morning. And then they would tell me, well, when do you sleep? I'm like, you don't worry about that. What do you need?
You take cat naps.
I take cat naps. You find me in a parking lot somewhere, like the seat back. No, but you know, at the end of the day, you just, what do you need, chef? Mm-hmm. And that's how you build it. You know, they can ask me 10 questions. If I don't know the answers, so what? I'll get you the answer and I'll get you the, what you need, mm-hmm. right? Bridge the gap.
Right.
You know, and that's where, you know, Veronica fit that bill tremendously. You know, I was very fortunate. I was very blessed. The team I had was really strong, but it was more of a team of, you know, like a pirate ship team. You know, these were not consummate pros. You know what I mean? But I never wanted to hire. How do I say it like that? They're all professional. They know how to work a laptop. They know how to speak. They're professional people, but they're not professional sales people.
Well, there's also a thing with chefs, and I think I'm speaking for most chefs out there. I think we never want a hard sale. There's the last thing we want to do is have a hard sale. So we kind of like lead the horse over. And a lot of times with the egos of chefs, you have to stroke the ego first, then go and bring that horse to the water. Like, what would you do? Hey, I just got this. And Ray Matthews, came up with me and he's like, hey, I got this pink pineapple. And I'm like, oh, that's really cool. He's like, go ahead, do something with it. And that's how that relationship started, with bring me something that was really new and that I never saw before. That is what you want to do with a chef. You want to bring something that can add value, mm-hmm. like you said, but be something totally different.
See, he was, you can consider him like part of the pirate ship. Like
he was the that was the person that replaced the other individual that was on the retail side. So I would ask like oranges. She's like, I don't know how they come. I'm like, how do you not know how oranges is it?
188 count.
Yeah, 188 count, 60 like, count. Can I get it like broken in like a couple? What, you know, what am I doing here? And you know, can, that's the point where I was like, if you, to me that should have been known. It's not like I was asking for like sunchokes. And then really, oh, let me find out if we carry that. Or lion's mane, but I need 40 pounds of it. Oh, you know, it's not like
so
that.
So then, old Ray comes in and he just swept crushed you off
it.
Your feet.
Crushed it. I mean, he appealed to the three things I told you about.
In spite of the fact that the situation that he had and towards the end there, without getting into the specifics of it, but, you know, you're working on a crutch. And in spite of that, the guy would always come through because I
100%.
I still get calls from chefs from down in South Florida constantly, and for myriads of different reasons. And you know, there's a few people's names that are brought up. His name gets brought up still today, and he's been out of the game for a bit now.
Yeah, and that's a true testament to him and his longevity is what he did for people because. And in all honesty, what the broadliners do, what produce companies do, they do the same thing. It's just how they deliver, what their guarantees are, and what they're going to do if they mess up and how they handle that mess up.
How do you fix it?
Yeah. But for you guys, I mean, I'll be on the, you know, honest, seeing both sides of the ball, it sucks to be a salesperson because you do not have, especially
no
if you're 7 days.
Off.
No, you don't.
No days
there
off.
Is none. You know, and you've got guys screaming and calling or females calling you and screaming and yelling, where's my product?
You know, it's funny because obviously, you know, part of the what we're doing here with the Walk and Talk Media, we're looking to take the our show concepts and platforms and magazine and all that, and we're looking to do something with this to help the community at large, the food industry community, and a lot of attention gets put to mental health awareness and challenges to the kitchen. Well, let me tell you something. When it comes to the sales division of companies that are, you know, very high, very motivated. Let me tell you something. It's as bad in the sales realm as it is in the kitchen. It's the same. The difference is they can actually, you know, from stop A to stop B, stop in at the bar, you know what I mean? And wreck their day.
Right.
And that does happen. It happens a lot.
Well, I mean, it's also all the CRMs like Salesforce and
forget it.
I mean, you got to do this and then, you know, Big Brother's doing that and they don't even eat lunch.
It's gross.
I mean,
report it just
right.
Into, yeah.
You're forced into a life of fast food is really what you're
pushing. Or not eating.
Or not eating.
Which
right.
is not healthy.
I would prefer to not eat. But for me, that was a problem for me.
Right.
Learning how to manage that because, you know, you got just like if you're a salesman. Or, you know, whatever, you like, all right, I have goals. I got to meet the goals. I'm going to eat, you know, during my lunch break in the car, right? And then what are you going to eat? You eat fast food.
Right.
Well, if you're in management and you've got your team and you still have to meet those goals, now you have to meet those goals times however many salespeople you are, whatever the, you know, so, yeah.
You're always on the go. Always on the go.
And it's easier to stress eat, and that's, it's a problem. But, you know, if it's only food that's your problem, you're lucky.
Right,
because it really goes
the other vices.
There's other vices, and then you know depression in sales,
burnout. I mean, it's a real thing.
It's so real. It is real.
Yeah.
You know, so I in one breath, I'm going to say that I believe a lot of salespeople, the majority of salespeople out there, are knuckle draggers, and if you take offense to that, it's probably you, and I'm okay 100%. With saying that.
100%.
With that said, even them, we all have the same stresses. I feel like there should be some sort of voice to that for them as well.
I think the salespeople actually have it worse than chefs.
In some aspects,
from
you're working
aspect.
At home too.
Well, not only that. What I mean by that is, you know, when the truck doesn't show up, as a chef, you're calling the Veronicas and the Carls and all the other people. Well, you're stressed out because you already know it because the company, if they're good, they're telling you, hey, we're running behind. So then you're proactive, but you're still not being proactive because if your day was supposed to go into zone A and it's that many miles away from and you're already over there and then Chef B calls you and says, hey, my truck's not coming. No. You got to reroute your entire
day.
And especially if it's one of your, you know, high end clientele, like you,
Disney or some, you know, whatever.
Yeah. I mean,
like you
got to get it done.
What you're doing, and you're doing it.
You got to get it done.
Well, what if the product never came, if it came in and it looked like crap and then you're running around.
Then you're running around to the store trying to find it somewhere, reaching out to all of your connects to see, you know, who's got what.
So in all honesty, I think salespeople actually have it worse than guest chefs.
Yes and no. I mean, obviously there's nothing, you know, I'm going to say just hashtag cornstarch like that lifestyle, you know, not, you know, 120 degrees in the kitchen and, you know, 13 hours a day on your feet. That sucks. But then you go home, you know, you have a beer, you sit down and you go home.
And we finally eat.
And you finally eat.
And everyone else is sleeping and all that stuff.
Yeah, well, that's its whole realm of, you know,
work-life balance. You're trying to find it and figure it out.
But yeah, with salespeople, you take your phone with you wherever you go.
You go home and you're prepping dinner or trying to put your kid to bed and the phone's ringing. I mean, my kid used to hang my cell phone over the garbage can. Like, I'm throwing this in the garbage, you know, and it was my work. I'm like, oh, don't do that.
Yeah, that's always fun. And then I had to deal with the repercussions of all of that. Uh-huh. I'm staring at him right now. So, so listen, you know, I remember there was this particular time, this was a million years ago. I had a client. I was up in Palm Beach, somewhere PJ Boulevard or something like that. And I got a call from the office. This is in South Florida a long time ago. And I got a call from the office and there was a big client, company client that, needed a second run. Well, it was down in Key Largo.
Oy.
So I was already doing deliveries up in, Palm Beach. So I had to like drop, finish quick, office, loaded the car to the gills, top, whatever, drive down to Key Largo. So I didn't get home until like 10 o'clock. By the time I finished that day, it was at 10 o'clock.
Done. Yeah.
Yeah. And then you get up the next day and you do it all over again.
It's tough.
It's a shit life. Mm-hmm. Excuse the lingo, but it's not easy. With that said, it could be the best life ever because you have all the time in the world to manage that time, if that makes sense. You can have a great life because if you have children, it's hard. If you don't have children, best life ever because you can manage it, whatever. You want to, you want to go out to eat after your day. Great. You go to, you know, meet friends, have a cocktail or not or whatever. It's a good life.
Right.
Children. Oof, rough.
Game changer.
Yeah, total game changer. So the people who, and I will say that hats off to you, Veronica, because you pulled it off as a single mom in a very difficult work environment. Let's just say that. Very difficult work environment.
It was tough, but, you know, I think, I hope that, you know, my son was able to see what it means to work, what it means to, you know, what you have to do. I'd bring him along sometimes to deliveries and he'd be my invoice carrier. And as he got older, he could carry some light boxes, you know, and I always tried to incorporate him too, so that it wasn't like, oh, my mom always has to work. She doesn't have time for me. You know, sometimes I'd have to mesh the two together and talking about work-life balance. Like, how do you do that? That's one of the arts of it, I guess, is trying to figure out a way to have them coexist.
Correct. Yeah. I haven't had that. I mean, I've got the children and everything, but you know, my situation is much different. You know, with that said, though, I mean, at the end of the day, we're out there doing the fight, the good fight. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of where the relationships meet. You know, it also ties together with how you know, somebody who's out, a chef who sees you doing what you do, because everybody knows what your situation is. They're going to know what your situation
is. There's more respect.
There's a lot more respect.
A lot more.
And your growth.
And appreciation, which for me was the biggest thing. Just if you can recognize and appreciate what I do, like that means everything. That's what I do it for.
Exactly. And they will stick with you.
Mm-hmm. Thick and thin.
Thick and thin forever.
Yep.
Yeah. And I will say that about the majority of chefs. There is that once you break through the
hard exterior.
Seal, yeah. Like they're with you forever.
Yeah. It's putty afterwards. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I haven't dealt with Ray in 2 years now. And I still remember I met Jim ZBI, most of my guys, even from my old previous employer, the ones I love to go on work with because they were passionate, not only about what the company sold, but they were also passionate about helping their guests, their customers to succeed.
Yeah. I was very, I was proud in the end to have hired him. And
you should be. I mean, he was the development that he went through, what he did for his customers, and I can't stand that word, but the guests that he dealt with, it was unpackable. Or you just don't get that. There's a rare breed of people in this industry that you can like gravitate to and bond.
I was going to pass on him. I was going to pass on. Well, so there was and if Ray actually hears this, I mean, I'm not telling any secrets or anything, but there was a friend of his who asked me to just interview him. You know, hey, look, if it's something that that's good, do it. If not, it's okay. But at least, you know, see him.
Right.
And I said, yeah, sure, no problem. And you know, he's a burly looking dude. You know, especially in the beginning, before he kind of refined himself, he was a rough looking character. And
I remember when he walked in fully tattooed, but very nicely dressed.
Well, before he was very nicely dressed, he wasn't very nicely dressed. He was just, you know,
just
very,
there,
very right. casual. And he sat down in front of me. He's, you know, and he's very polite, Mr. Carl. You know, and we started talking, and he came to me with what I go to chefs with, which is give me the shot, made the eye contact. Like he's in my
right.
He's, you know, he's very focused. And he's determined and he's confident in his delivery of, I don't know this business. I will do everything that you say. Give me the chance.
Right.
And you know what? I said, how do you say no to that? I said, you know what? Give it a shot. And then he absorbed every bit of what was fed to him in terms of how, you know, how to execute and do this properly. And he did. And he did a great job. So hats off to him. He should still be out there somewhere selling a junk load of stuff somewhere. But you hear me, boy? You should get out there and do something.
Definitely.
So yeah, man, I'm glad you brought him up.
Definitely. I mean, like those people make a mark. Now there's others that make a mark in a different way that you're like, yeah. No.
Yes.
Never.
Yes. I actually had I'm not going to name names. I hired somebody. They were on fire. I'd never seen so many credit applications coming through. And then I was confused to the core because there wasn't not one order over the course of probably 4 months that came through. Very, very minimal. And I took that time to, you know, not say anything, just kind of went around and did my due diligence behind the scenes. As it turned out, this person was bypassing the chef entirely. And they had a spiel with the, you know,
the accounting
departments, yeah. Or whatever, about just getting the accounts set up. And it was all all fraudulent type stuff. I mean, the applications were true.
Right.
But the delivery of information of how they got there was not. And then so I would go to the chef and say, chef, you know, you've been on the books with us for 2 months. What can we do to earn your business? You know, how do we do this? Who are you? Like, what do you mean? Who are you? what are you talking about? He goes, I didn't set up any accounts. Like, what? What do you mean? You set up an account? Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
And then it came out and I was like, wow, it was just, the whole thing was fraud.
Yeah.
So you know, there's
two sides of a coin.
Oh my gosh.
Wow. Yeah. Wow.
Right.
Wow.
I know. Willie's shocked. Yeah. I don't know how for me, this is very entertaining. Like I would be listening to this, you know, very intently. But you know, so if you're from the sales world, I think you're enjoying this. I think if you are looking to get into sales, maybe you're enjoying it as well. I don't know. If you're a chef, you're like, yeah, I get all that.
Yeah. But just take the pro tips. Just make sure that's the notes you needed to take down.
Pro tips. Yeah.
Those are definitely some good.
Be accessible. You know, is it product knowledge important? Yeah. It's not the most important.
Not 100%.
Your word is the most important and your confidence level is the most also very important. All these things are equally as important. And do what you say you're going to do. Show up, answer your phone, and you know you're gonna be good from there. There's a lot of other details to this, but you start with that, and I think you're going to be good to go. Oh yeah! So I just want to thank Veronica and Chef Jeffrey Schlisselmeister for being on the show today. Thank you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Listen, again, if you're a chef out there, give give Walk and Talk a look-see. We can work something out with you. You want to brand a TV show? You want to be a superstar? Bring it. I'm so- Bring it. We can do this. Check us out at thewalkintalk.com. And also, hey, Willie, wait a dang second. Pablo Vivas, you did an amazing job on this music.
Oh, yes.
For the track.
Excellent. Pablo's the best.
Pablo is the best. All right, because I rock to this all the time. Appreciate
Pablito,
your brother.
Pablito.
Pablito in the house. All right, we're out.
Walk and Talk Podcast.
Let me tell you about my friends over at Citrus America and their amazing juicing equipment. They're revolutionizing the way you enjoy freshly squeezed juice. They're at the best hotels, restaurants, and markets. Their mission is simple. Develop a unique consumer experience with on-premise juicing, deliver healthy taste options to clientele, and juice more faster. It's that easy. Citrus America supplies the highest quality juicing equipment and solutions in the industry. So whether you're a small business owner or a large corporation, Citrus America has the right juicing equipment for you. Find out more at citrusamerica.com.
Get ready to innovate and organize your workspace with Metro. As the industry leader in storage and productivity solutions, Metro is here to transform and organize your kitchen. With their premium solutions, you'll experience the Metro difference. Metro's sturdy and versatile shelving units, workstations, holding cabinets, and utility carts are designed to streamline operations and maximize your productivity. Don't settle for imitators. Metro products last longer and offer unparalleled quality and durability. Plus, many customization options ensure that your workspace is tailored to your unique needs. Visit their website or contact them today to start designing your perfect space. Metro Shelving, your partner in organization and efficiency.
Let me tell you about my friends over at Citrus America and their amazing juicing equipment. They're revolutionizing the way you enjoy freshly squeezed juice. They're at the best hotels, restaurants, and markets. Their mission is simple. Develop a unique consumer experience with on-premise juicing, deliver healthy taste options to clientele, and juice more faster. It's that easy. Citrus America supplies the highest quality juicing equipment and solutions in the industry. So whether you're a small business owner or a large corporation, Citrus America has the right juicing equipment for you. Find out more at citrusamerica.com.